Amen. All right. If you wouldn't your Bibles tonight, turn to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Message tonight on what every member of Heritage Baptist should know about separation. So, preacher, we come tonight to hear about separation. Yes. Every once in a while we need to be reminded again. Actually, we need to be reminded about every week. But the Bible has, and the Lord has made it clear, that we're to come out from the world, be separate, saith the Lord. And this is absolutely just one of those areas in which most churches have just dropped it. And I mean dropped it big time. Churches today have exactly done what the Bible says, that in the end times they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And most churches today do exactly that. They bring people in, and it's called the seeker-sensitive movement. They bring people in and give them what they want rather than what the Lord has to say. And the Bible says that we ought to preach the whole counsel of God. It is the job of the pastor to stand up and preach the whole counsel of God. Preach the Bible from cover to cover and to say it just like the Bible says it. Amen? And there is times in which we need to come to church and be encouraged to live right. And by that I mean to live according to the pattern that Jesus Christ set for us. I absolutely believe that that Christianity is a relationship and not a religion. By that I mean Christianity is not a set of rules. Christianity is Jesus Christ. For you to truly develop and truly have a Christian life that God intended for you to have, you must develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the number one key. Again, we could set down some do's and don'ts, but understand that all of those would be summarized in to just simply this: do what Jesus would do. Amen. What would Jesus do in that situation? And if we would just strive to live like Jesus, to follow His pattern, then we would certainly glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our goal as Christians, to glorify Him. Now understand that in the Bible there are do's and don'ts. I reminded someone the other day, again, I said, do you think God laid down rules in the Bible so you couldn't have any fun? No, He didn't. He didn't lay down rules in the Bible. He didn't lay down some don'ts in the Bible simply so you wouldn't have any fun. He laid down don'ts in the Bible to protect us. He laid down don'ts in the Bible, things we shouldn't do for our good. Understand this. God always has our best interest in mind. Amen. Just as you do with your children. When you sit down with your children, you lay some rules out. You lay those rules out not so they wouldn't have any fun, but you do it for their good. And so understand that tonight as well. There are a lot of positive things about separation, and we'll cover some of those too tonight. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. The Bible says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Cast off the works of darkness. But listen what else it says. And let us put on the armor of light. So we're to cast off the works of darkness. And opposite of that is to put on the armor of Christ. Or put on that armor of light. Look at verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting or drunkenness. Not in chambering or wantonness. Not in strife and envying. I love this. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, help us tonight as we study Your Word, as we study this, again, important subject of separation. Help us, Lord, and strengthen us, encourage us to live separated lives, that we might be a beacon, a light, to a lost and dying world. In Jesus' name, amen. As we think about separation, first off, we must understand that being separated from the world, all right, Noah and Josh, come here real quick. So Noah, you go stand on that. Go stand over there. And Josh, you stand over there. All right, we have to choose which one's going to be which. So go ahead a little further. A little further. Go to the edge. Yeah, right there's good. Right there. All right, so we're going to choose which one's the world. A worldly one. We'll make that Joshua. All right, so Joshua's the world. and Noah is the Lord. Okay? Are you glad you're not the world? Are you glad? Would you rather be the world? He don't have a clue. The adults know where the illustration's going. The kids are like, I don't know. And so the Bible talks about us, casting aside the works of darkness, the works of those things, and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's two things here involved. One is we're to be separated from the world, right? We are to be separated from the world. The closer we get here, the further away we get from the Lord, right? The closer we walk to the world, the closer we get involved in the world, that runs the whole gamut. I mean, if our friends are worldly, teenagers, if you're hanging around lost friends, if you're hanging around worldly people, adults, if we're hanging around people who drink and people who gossip and people who have bad attitudes, and we immerse ourselves in television and all of the things that might continue to cloud our thoughts and our judgment. And again, as we get close to the world, we get further away from the Lord. Amen? We've talked about what you feed upon is whether or not you become a healthy Christian or a starved Christian. Or a healthy Christian or an unhealthy Christian, right? If we feed upon the things of the world, we starve that spiritual man. If we feed upon the things of the Lord, we feed the spiritual man, we starve the fleshly person, the fleshly man, all right? All right, so when we talk about separation, we're not just merely talking about being separated from the world, but when we're separated from the world, we're separated unto the Lord. So there's the negative, we're being separated from the world, but then there's a positive that we're being separated unto the Lord. Amen? I'd much rather be over here. A lot more, a lot greater things in my life can happen if I'm over here, closer to the Lord. And in my Christian life, I'm making this journey, Lord willing. Sometimes I make backwards and forwards motions a lot. But as I, in my Christian life, if I'm growing, I'm steadily headed towards this. And so when the Lord returns, then I'm glorified, right? And I'm with the Lord. Go sit down, man. Thank you. The world can sit down too. Amen? So we need to cast off the works of darkness and put on the light and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, as we think about that, we ought to be separated. Separated from the world unto the Lord. Separated from the things of the world unto the things of God. For instance, we are separated unto prayer. We are separated unto the Word of God. Amen? I tell you what, try to read the Word of God and do it in a manner which will be enjoyable if there's sin in your life. It's almost impossible, isn't it? If there's sin in your life and you're reading the Bible, man, it's tough because sin will keep you from the Bible, or the Bible will keep you from sin. So as we separate ourselves from the world, we separate ourselves unto the Word of God. Try this. Try praying with sin in your life. Oh, you can do it for a while, but at some point you're saying, why am I praying when nothing is happening? Why am I praying when seemingly I get no answer from the Lord? Being separated unto prayer, unto the Word of God. Being separated unto the church that Jesus Christ founded, Heritage Baptist Church, Victory Baptist Church, Worth Baptist Church. Being separated unto the church. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be in church than in any bar in town. I don't think there's a bar in Haslett, but amen. I'd rather be here than just about anywhere. Amen? I love being a part of the Lord's church and the Lord's family. We're separated unto prayer and unto the Word of God. We're separated unto the local church, which is a place in which we come to the meal table and get fed. Amen? A place where we receive encouragement from not only the pastor, Lord willing, but from church members who are there to encourage us and lift us up, to love us unconditionally. Thirdly, we're separated unto Christian service. Unto Christian service. If you want to get closer to the Lord, separated from the world, get yourself involved in Christian service. Get involved at Heritage Baptist Church, where you're a member at. Whatever it may be. We have junior church needs and children's church needs and Sunday school needs and nursery. They had 28 in the nursery this morning. Nursery needs. Maybe you're a lady that hasn't worked in the nursery yet and you just love to do it. It's a great opportunity. By the way, if we don't have a nursery, all the babies would be out here and you wouldn't be able to listen. Amen? So maybe that's an area. But get involved. We are separated unto Christian service, whatever area of service that may be. Separated unto fellowship. Fellowship, again, with our fellow Christians. So there's far more positives than there are negatives. And too many times we harp on the negatives, which I'm fixing to do, but we harp on the negatives. There's so much more positive about the Christian life. I'm telling you, you can have fun on a Friday night, get up Saturday morning without a hangover. Amen. Have fun with your kids. Enjoy life. Have a happy life, if you would. Enjoy your marriage. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your home. You can, by the way, as a Christian, you can even enjoy your job. Amen. You can enjoy your job. You say, preacher, how can I do that? I hate my job. Well, your job is simply a conduit in which you can serve the Lord in. Look at it that way rather than whatever way you look at it now. But it's just, we got to look at the positives many times. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be like Jesus Christ. And ask yourself again, what would Jesus do? Again, put off the old man and put on the new. Now, we understand, the Bible makes it seem, Paul says in Romans 12, he says, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What did verse 2 say? Most of you know it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Again, we think about the negative separation. That is, if we are to be a child of God and live according to the Lord, for the Lord, be separated from the world under the Lord, then there's certain people we can't hang out with. Those who would pull you down in your Christian walk with the Lord. Again, we're not to be of the world. We're to be in the world, but not of the world. We're not saying that we are to put ourselves in a monastery and, you know, eat bread and water, right? But if you hang around a bunch of skunks, you'll start smelling like a skunk. How can two walk together unless they be agreed, the Bible says. You cannot. You cannot hang around the crowd and expect to influence the crowd. The crowd will always influence you. Absolutely. You say, well, preacher, I'm different. Teenagers will say, well, I'm different. I can go to that party and not drink. Yeah, right. Yeah, I've heard teenagers say, well, I went there and I didn't. There was drinking going on, but I didn't drink. Yeah, right. Don't believe you. Amen. You are who you hang around. Amen. Teenagers, again, remind you, if you get yourself in a situation, call mom or your daddy. I am here. I need to be gone. Please come pick me up. Amen. Because whoever you hang around is who you become. Now, understand that we are to be careful about our associations and those who may pull us down. And then there's certain places we need to be separated from. Those who would dishonor Christ or would be against the Bible. There's certain places we shouldn't go. And again, we can spend a lot of time here, but there's places a Christian shouldn't be. I remember someone telling me one time, said, preacher, I'm going to go to the bar and witness to people. Yeah, right. You know, that's not the place to be witnessing to people. That will bring you down. You don't go into a bar to witness to people. You may stand outside and witness to people. I like the ideal of, I like some of these new ideals such as taking the some of these adult places, you know what I'm talking about? And taking pictures of the cars and driver and the tags and putting them on the internet. I think that is so cool. Anyway, those are not places you go to witness to people. Those are not places you should be. There are places you shouldn't be. Don't go to those places. The Bible says, come out from among them. Be not conformed to this world. Be separate, saith the Lord. There's certain places you shouldn't go. Certain places that it would be dishonoring to the Lord. Certain places that would be against the Bible. You know those places. Just don't go to them. I tell you what, and I'm going to lay it out again. We now have churches. We now have churches. And you say, preacher, you're going to get petty here. That's fine. You can take or leave it. We now have churches that condone dancing, and their Christian schools have proms with dances in them. I'm like, hello? You put two teenagers together, a boy and a girl dancing together, and you don't think that boy's thinking a certain way? You're nuts.
And now they're doing it in a church building. In their auditorium. I'm like, what happened? Preachers with no backbone. I'm telling you, it's unbelievable. I feel better about the whole thing. We have individuals today in church today that just simply lay down the areas of separation, lay down the areas of biblical separation, and anything goes as long as everybody gets along. Well, that's not what my Bible says. What kind of music they listen to while they're dancing? I mean, just come on. You can't go to a dance and listen to honky-tonk music, talks about sleeping with somebody else's wife and doing all these other things, and glorify God in that. Amen, you cannot. You can't do it. If you want to dance, if you just got to dance, go home and dance with your spouse in the privacy of your home. Listen to the cathedrals while you're doing it. You know I would do that. Amen. I'm just telling you, it boggles my mind. It makes no biblical sense, and it makes no logical sense. Many times, the areas of separation that churches have just flung out the door. They just got tired. Tired of fighting. Tired of preaching it. Tired of the emails and the things they get from people. Just tired of it. Listen, there are places you shouldn't go as a Christian. There are certain people you shouldn't hang around as a Christian. There are things that would dishonor God that you shouldn't do. There are also certain habits a Christian shouldn't have. Those that would harm your testimony as a Christian. Amen. Amen. So, preacher, you're going to get on smoking and drinking again. Yes, I am. There are certain habits you shouldn't have that are dishonoring to Christ. You say, preacher, I've tried and tried and tried to quit. Try again. Let's say it takes, I believe the last statistic I heard was like 39 times on average to quit smoking. 39 times of quitting before you quit. To break a bad habit, you need to go 21 days without using it. By the way, to create a good habit in your life, it takes 21 days. You want to get in the habit of reading your Bible? Go 21 days. You'll be amazed at the difference it'll make after that. Amen. Everybody good? See, when I start preaching this way, I get no amens. Y'all should be amening me like crazy. Preacher, I'm glad we attend a church that still speaks up. There are those who speak against God or God's Word, and those who have the habits of gossiping or have the, and I'm going to cover some of those in a minute, but wrong appetites and wrong attitudes and wrong appearances. We need to be careful of these areas. So there are areas of positive separation. We are separated unto the Lord, unto prayer, unto the Word of God, unto the church, unto Christian service, unto fellowship. But there are things we ought to separate ourselves from the world. There's some negative things. And that is with certain people we hang around or certain places we go or certain habits we may have. Why should we separate? The Christian must choose between the things of the world and the things of the Lord. And there's so many verses that we could turn to. And Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, the Bible says, leave there. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. No man yet cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the world at the same time. And they're particularly talking about money, but you can't serve God and man at the same time, the world. You can't worship God and Belial at the same time. You either love the one or you hate the other. Amen? We got to choose. Make the choice. A Christian must seek to glorify God. Again, praise Him, elevate Christ, to lift Him up. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. My goal as a Christian is to be like Jesus Christ in order that I might glorify the Father. Isn't that what Jesus wanted to do? He said, not my will, but thy be done. These things I do that I might glorify the Father. My job is to glorify the Father as a Christian. The Christian is commanded to abstain from even the appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Abstain from all appearances of evil. I've used this illustration, but I'll use it again about my grandpa buying those lottery tickets. Remember that? You know, my papa had money. He didn't, certainly buying a couple lottery tickets wouldn't have been that big a deal to him. Went into a little convenience store to buy his weekly 1-2 lottery tickets, bought the lottery tickets, turned around, and there was a young couple from his church standing behind him. And I mean, immediately he said his heart was smitten. Just, he was so convicted about it. Didn't buy another lottery ticket after that. We need to be careful. We abstain from all appearances of evil. All appearances of evil. There may be some things that may be okay. I'm not saying lottery tickets are okay, by the way. There may be some things that are okay, but they're not best. There's many illustrations of that in the Bible. For instance, abstaining from meats for certain people and so forth. I don't have time, but then there's just so... We must be very careful. Abstain from all appearances of evil. If there's a question, don't do it. If there's doubt, don't do it. Amen? The Christian is to walk in the light and is to have no fellowship with darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. I'm going to go over there and read that. The Bible says, "For ye were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Prove them. We need to walk in the light. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. Be separated from the world unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians, and we've read this many, many times. 2 Corinthians, let's go over there and look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. The teenagers, y'all turning? This is a good message for y'all. Hey, I'll just stand over here and preach the rest of the message. Look there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Very familiar passage. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you saved tonight? Amen? Know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Take off the old man and put on the new. Used to be a little children's psalm that said that. Take off the old man, put on the new. New creature in Christ. I am commanded. I am commanded. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. I am commanded to live a separate life. There are areas in which change is needed after salvation. You say, well, how am I to make these changes, preacher? I've just gotten saved recently and I certainly want to please the Lord. How am I to make these changes? Well, the Lord will help you. He'll be there for you to help you make these changes. He'll make the changes for you, by the way. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, Proverbs chapter 23, if I get there first, I'm going to read it. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. It's somewhere in the Bible. I can't find it, but it's somewhere there. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. I tell you what, we must understand that whatever we're thinking in our heart, that's who we are. Whatever's down here in the belly of the heart eventually comes up in a bucket of speech. It just happens. We need a change of heart. And the Lord, when He came and saved us, He gave us a new nature, gave us a new want to, and we need to understand that and know that and seek to make those changes. You know, it's fine as Christians to clean up the outside, but the inside is even more important. If the inside's cleaned up, then the outside will be clean. Amen? We need to change. What changes are needed? Attitude. Also, change of appearance. You say, well, appearance isn't important to the Lord. Yes, it is. Appearance is important. And there when Samuel, I mentioned that story this morning, where Samuel came to anoint the new king, and he came to Jesse's house, and Jesse's son stood before him, and that oldest son stood before Samuel, and he was a strapping, good-looking guy, I mean, tall, and Samuel said, "This is the one." And God said, "No, he's not." And then that little verse says that God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outside, and God looks on the heart. By the way, the verse also implies by that he was a good-looking man, that he had a certain look about him. It never was negative about the way he looked. We're not, that verse does not say God does not care about the way a person looks. Because He does. Amen. He does care. What you are on the outside is who you are on the inside. I'm telling you guys, the way we dress does matter. I could spend some time here, but separated from the world unto God is what you are about to put on, would it glorify God? That's all you have to ask. Amen. Can I use the deal with teenagers again? Let me just again say this. And this is something between you and the Lord. Two teenagers, a boy and a girl, 16 years old, go to the swimming pool. Both of them in a bathing suit. What is that boy thinking? Thank you, Brother Summers. You know, and yet we put our kids in that position. I remember as a kid, my dad got saved when he was 27. I was about 2 or 3 years old. My dad got saved about when I was 5. And the Lord began to just work in his heart, And we used to do everything. I mean, as a kid. And my dad used to go to my grandparents every other weekend. So we'd miss church every other weekend. He finally got convicted about that. He said, you know what? We can't go to mom and dad's all the time. We need to be in our local church. Amen? Amen. Secondly, he said, all right, one day, all of a sudden, he comes in, he begins to speak to us. He says, no longer will you be allowed to mix swim, boys and girls together. There was no rebellion in the house. Dad was the man. That's it. And then explained why. Amen? Appearance matters. What you wear matters. And it's not summer yet, but help us out when it gets summer, okay? Getting awful quiet in here. My purpose is to glorify God. Is what I'm wearing going to glorify God? That's all you got to ask. Would Jesus do it? I had another preacher tell me that lives out on the West Coast, or the East Coast actually. He said, "Man, we have a beach ministry. We all get dressed in our bathing suits and we have a beach ministry. We go down to the beach and pass out tracts." I'm telling you, that's between you and the Lord. I don't think it glorifies God. I personally don't believe that. I don't believe it glorifies God. Areas we need to change. We need to develop an appetite for the things of God. We need to develop an appetite for the things of God. Does a child like vegetables right off the bat? Most of them do not. I still don't like most vegetables. I'd rather my plate be all white and brown. Right? So what do you do when a child is young? You begin to force feed them. Even those little bottles, you know, those little baby, if you begin to force feed them carrots and force feed them broccoli and force feed them whatever, and they, you know, spit it out about 20 times, but you continue to do it, guess what? Eventually they gain an appetite for it, right? As a kid, I hated spinach. I mean, I hated spinach with a passion. And my dad had the rule that when you sit down at the table, whatever's on the table, you ate. When there's spinach on the table, you're going to eat it. You know what? I love spinach now. I could eat a gallon of it. A little salt and pepper. Oh, my goodness. It is so awesome. Cabbage. I still don't necessarily want cabbage for every meal, but my dad would start cooking that stuff. He'd walk in the door. Oh, cabbage, Dad, please. Please. You know what? What's on the table, you eat it. You know what? I can stand to eat cabbage. I can basically stand to eat anything now because my dad made us eat everything. I'll even eat collard greens. Put them out in front. Enough salt and pepper, man, you can eat anything. But you develop an appetite. I used to hate milk. Now I could drink a gallon of it. I love the stuff. You develop that appetite. And it's the same way in your Christian life. We're not saying when you get saved that automatically you have this great appetite for the things of God. You develop those appetites. How do you develop those appetites? By being in the Word of God. By coming to church. And you develop those appetites for the things of God. By the way, the appetite for the things of God are a lot better than the appetites for the things of the world. They'll sure get you a lot further in life. You talk about that abundant Christian life, that life of joy and pleasure, that's found over here in the right appetites. So as a Christian, you're separating yourself from the world under the Lord, and one of the areas you do that in is the area of your appetites. Encouraging a godly appetite. You do that by, again, church and Bible reading and so forth. There are some changes that need to be made. Attitude, appearances, appetites, also in the area of our actions. A lot of difference between the action of a lost person and the action of a saved person. I mentioned a couple of them this morning. Again, a lost person can love those that love him. But as a Christian, we're required to love those who hate us. Amen. You say, oh, I can't do that, preacher. Well, that's an area you need to work on. Between you and the Lord, you need to work on those things. We're to love everyone. Amen. We can spend time there, but we'll move on. Love each other. Love one another. That is not just talking about Christians. We need to have love for the world, love for each other. Come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, 2 Corinthians says. Come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord. I'm going to turn over there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my son and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out, be you separate, and touch not the unclean thing. Come out. Come out from that world. Come out from darkness. And come into the light. Put on the light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it requires effort on your part. It does. I'm not saying that we be Pharisees and Sadducees. Don't get me wrong. Just because you separate yourself from the world does not necessarily mean that you separate yourself unto God. There are those who separate themselves from the world who are not godly. They're called Pharisees and Sadducees. Oh, they live according to the law, but on the inside, Paul said, they're full of dead man's bones. Oh, they clean their sepulcher on the outside, they clean their cup on the outside, but on the inside their cup is dirty. So just outwardly doing the right thing does not necessarily make you spiritual. Amen. You might be a Pharisee. And that's where we have to be careful as Christians, that those who may not have our same point of views in some of these areas and same convictions, that we look down upon them. But you have no right to look down upon anybody. I have no right to look down upon anybody. Amen. Listen, I could fall tomorrow. I could fall into sin tomorrow. I'm subject to the like passions. Amen. I could fall tomorrow. We need to be careful in the area. This is an area that I think that the reason why some liberals went to the other extreme of not preaching separation anymore and preaching this free grace movement, and we won't have time to go into that, but preaching all this stuff that's come out in the last 30 or 40 years, seeker-sensitive stuff, is because we had a set of Christians who were living according to rules but had no passion. I'm sorry, I used the wrong word. Had no compassion. Amen. Listen, I'm going to separate myself from the God, I mean, from the world, but I don't want to just be separated from the world. I want to be separated unto the Lord. If I'm just living according to rules, and I say, well, I haven't done these 10 things in the last 2 years, woo, I'm spiritual. That's not necessarily true. What we do as a Christian, you've heard me preach this, what we do as a Christian, when we separate ourselves from the world, and we through the Holy Spirit, try to live right and do right. We read our Bibles. We pray. We go to church. We give. You know, we're faithful in witnessing to others. We try to live a separated life. Those things do not necessarily make us spiritual. Have you ever met somebody who knew a lot of the Word of God, and boy, they were proud of it, but they never attended church, you know? Man, I've met some guys out door knocking. Knock on the door, and man, they could tell you more about the Bible than it's unbelievable, you know? Ever met a drunk that could tell you more about the Bible than you know? I have personally. It's amazing. Just because you read your Bible and learn the Bible and memorize the Bible does not necessarily make you spiritual. What does it do, class? It puts you in a position for the Lord to make you spiritual. It's the Lord who does it. Right? The filling of the Holy Spirit is not something we earn. It's something that is given. Now, we put ourselves in a position where God can give it to us. Right? But the Lord can fill us. We already have the Spirit, but He fills us. So we need to be careful in the area of separation that we do not become a Pharisee or a Sadducee. I have personally been called by some of my close friends a Pharisee when I talk about separation. Or they'll bring out the big term. What's the big gun? Starts with an L. You're a legalist. Absolutely not. Legalism means that we're adding works to salvation. We're not saved by our works. We're saved unto good works. Maybe they should read the Bible a little bit. Amen. We're saved by grace through faith, but we're saved unto good works. Our works do matter. What we do matters. We are His workmanship created unto Christ Jesus. He's working on us to conform us to the image of His Son. We just don't lay worldly things, we don't lay things aside and say, oh, you know, those don't apply to me. You know, we live in a modern age, preacher. Get up, catch up with the times. That's okay. I don't mind. If you want to say I'm old-fashioned, that's great. In fact, that's a compliment to me. I've had people for the last 30 years tell me I was 50. That's fine. You know? I believe without a smidgen of doubt in my mind that a Christian ought to live a separated life. That when a person looks at me, I hope they see a difference in me. Amen. They ought to see a difference in me. Separation is biblical. How many would say amen to that? Have we just showed you that? Separation is biblical. How many of y'all believe a church should teach it? And maybe even call it sin rather than whatever they want to call it today. Amen. Just say it like it is. We need to live separated lives. People at your job ought to see a difference in you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We ought not to harm our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of God. We're not to harm our bodies. And I've mentioned to you there are some reading material in the bookstore. I'd encourage you, if you want to learn about why a Christian shouldn't have a tattoo, there's a good little booklet in a bookstore about that. And other areas you can read about on alcohol and these many things that you could read about that would really help you in these areas. We need to be careful that our bodies are. Is it wrong to drink? Let's just look at two verses, and I'm just about done. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. You will say, preacher, the Bible only says strong drink. You know, you shouldn't drink strong drink. Now, be careful. It doesn't just say strong drink is wrong. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. Wine is a mocker, comma, strong drink is raging. Wine is a mocker. Do you think King Solomon thought drinking wine could get you into trouble? Wine is a mocker. Is that what it says? I rest my case. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Verse 31. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth her color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like a adder. Does it sound like to me by that scripture that drinking's all right? No. No. I tell you what, I've had this asked about drugs as well, illegal drugs like cocaine and pot and so forth. Preacher, are these things wrong? Yes, they harm the temple. And God directly addresses drinking. It frustrates me to no end that our government has something out for the smokers, but doesn't address the alcoholic beverages at all. When alcohol kills thousands and thousands more than smoking ever thought about doing. You know why they don't address it? Money. I tell you what, we need to be very careful as Christians about our testimony. Separated from the world, separated unto God. And in these areas, we need to be careful about our testimony. Everyone that nameth the name of Christ is commanded to glorify the Lord. Isaiah 59. Did I say that was the last verse we're turning to? Let's turn to one more. Isaiah 59, verse 1. This is good. Isaiah 59. This will be the last one we turn to. Isaiah 59, verse 1. There's one thing that will separate you from God. Look here in Isaiah 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord is not shortened that He cannot save, neither is He ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear you. Say, preacher, God's not listening to me anymore. My prayers aren't being answered. The first thing you need to do is check your life. Is there sin in my life? Am I living a separated life? Am I living a life that's pleasing to the Lord? Am I glorifying God in my life? So, preacher, I haven't had a prayer answered in years. Maybe there's something down in the deepest crevice of your life that you've been hiding back in there somewhere that you need to get right with God. You talk about a burden lifted. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive you on the spot. Fellowship is restored. Again, as a Christian, as a saved born-again believer, when you sin, you do not lose your salvation. You lose fellowship with the Lord. That barrier goes up. I'll never forget as a kid, as a teenager especially, you know, get crossways with Dad, you know. Did something wrong and he whooped the tar out of me, which I needed. I'm so thankful that my dad disciplined me and disciplined me right. So thankful. But after that, boy, as a young man, I would try my very best, you know, to give my dad the silent treatment. Right? Man, I'd try to give him a silent treatment. You know what, though? Me and my dad had such a good relationship, it lasted about 30 minutes. You know? I don't want silence between me and my Heavenly Father. Boy, I don't want that. And many times that silence is there because we are not living a separated life. The final goal of separation is fully dedicated and dedicating ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. The final goal of separation is being fully dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a quote from A.V. Henderson, by the way. Fully dedicated to the Lord. Are you fully dedicated tonight? Have you separated yourself from the world and separated yourself unto God? Or have you come out from the world? Are you walking in the light? Or are you walking in darkness? Say, preacher, as a saved person, I can walk in darkness? Absolutely you can. Let's walk in the light. By the way, 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Well, when our fellowship with God is right and we're walking in the light, our fellowship with our fellow man will be right. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Let's all stand. Have a verse of invitation. Hymn 1.